Okay, this is Eleanor Mann. We are still in Akure at a group of, with a group of navigator couples, and we are talking about the marriage covenant. And today we are talking about the wife respecting, showing respect to her husband. We've been talking about covenant needs, and we're talking about the fact that God created man and woman with these needs. We're talking about the fact that these are legitimate needs. They are not because of sin or because of any lacking. They are just the way we are created. And these needs will not go away as we mature. They will only increase. So the more, as wives, we can minister to our husbands in this way, the more we are enhancing his life, the better we are making our marriage, the better example we are giving to the world. And you know, it is no mistake that so many marriages struggle, because God uses marriage as a symbolic of Christ's relationship with the church. And so if Satan can destroy our marriages, he can really make a dent on the world's impression of what the church is like, Christ's relationship with the church. See, it's not so great. It's not so strong. So by when we exhibit marriages that glorify God, if we are making our husbands happy, we are not only showing the world what a Christian marriage is like, but we are thumbing our noses against the enemy. You see, you cannot touch us. God has given us the strength to live in the world but not be of it in terms of our marriage relationship. Father, I just pray as we talk about respecting our husbands that you will give us real clear communication and understanding. Lord, we want to know what your word says. We don't want to just follow the world's thinking. We don't want to even stay with wrong thinking. We want you to bring our thoughts in alignment with what your scripture teaches and help our hearts to be open to change, that we will allow your Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us and make us into the kind of women and wives that you want us to be. So we commit this time to you and trust you with it. In Jesus' name, amen. In the world, respect is seen as being earned, not given. It's an emotion or an action responsive to a particular situation. And when our husband's actions deserve respect, then he will receive respect. But in Ephesians 5, let me turn to it really quickly. Ephesians 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So we begin this passage on marriage talking about the wife submitting to her husband. Now here at the end, we're talking about the wife respecting her husband. God doesn't put things into order by accident. So the fact that he has put respect here at the end means this is his final word to us as wives on how he wants us to treat our husbands. And we want to find out what that means and then do it. Let me first address an issue. In some translations, instead of seeing, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband, in some translations it uses fear. Do any of you have a translation that says that? If you go back to the Greek word, which is phobio, it does use the word fear. There's no exact translation into English for the word phobia, But you can use the word fear, translate it as fear, but it is not the same fear as thinking something bad is going to happen to you, that you need protection. It is describing awe and reverence. It's not fear of violence or bodily harm, but a reverence or awe. So it would be, the wife must see to it that she shows reverence towards her husband, or that she feels awe towards her, shows awe towards her husband. It's the same word that is used in Matthew 9, 6 through 8, where Jesus is healing the paralytic. And it says, when multitudes saw this, they were filled with awe and glorified God. So we know Jesus was healing people, so they weren't afraid of him because they were flocking around him for him to heal them. But they did kind of go, oh my goodness, you know, look what this man did. It was the same reaction the disciples had when they were reporting the resurrection of Jesus. It says they were filled with awe, and it's this same word. It was like, wow, look what God did. Well, that's the reaction God wants us to have towards our husbands. Not just seeing the same old guy that we always see, but actually seeing, wow, look at this man that God has brought into my life. Having a sense of awe and of reverence towards him. So let's talk about how does that play itself out in terms of real life. And then we're going to look at an example and come up with some application. Proverbs 12, where did we start off looking up scripture before? How about if you were holding your baby, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name. How about if you look up, would you please look up Proverbs 12, verse 4? Okay. So I would paraphrase this verse. Do you want to be a crown or a cancer? Do you want to be the kind of wife that people look at her husband and say, wow, look at that guy. He is something. Because of the way his wife treats him? Or do you want to be the kind of wife where you shamed him so much that he feels like he has rotten? That's what cancer does, is it eats you up from the inside. Okay? When we shame our husbands publicly or privately, it eats on their insides in a way that no one else's comments can, because our husbands are more vulnerable to us than to anyone else in the world. Our words have great power over their self-confidence and their ego. About a week ago, we were in some kind of a situation where I was sitting in a group of people with John, and we were talking, and I made some kind of a remark. I don't even know what it was, but I could see on his face that I had hurt his feeling. And I asked him about it later, and he was like, oh, I thought you were saying, well, I was just making a crack. I thought it was funny. I had no idea it had affected him the way it did. And so I apologized, but it had still hurt, you know, because he cares what I think about him. You know, your husband cares what you think about him more than he cares about what anyone else in the whole world thinks. I think a phone call. Okay, we'll just go on. So we can be a crown or we can be a cancer. The difference is, are we shaming our husbands or are we making them look good by the way we treat them? Proverbs 31, 26 and 27. Let me read that one. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. But let's focus on verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom. I am so much better off when I stop and think before I speak. And that's what I didn't do that week that I told you I made the comment that hurts John's feeling. I just burst something out of my mouth that I intended completely differently from the way he received it. Well, it doesn't matter what my intentions were. If it hurt him, it hurt him. And I don't want to do that. So I want to speak kindly. I want the teaching of kindness to be on my tongue. And I want to open my mouth in wisdom. Does that mean I can never speak? I need to always just be quiet? No. Because the woman it describes in here is speaking. She is teaching. She is opening her mouth. She's just doing it wisely and kindly. And for me, the key to that is thinking before I speak. Proverbs 31, verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. He can trust her with his ego, his self-image, his public reputation, because of the way she treats him. So I want my husband to trust in me. Ephesians 4:29, we're talking about kindness, says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let's take that verse apart for a minute. We want our words to build up, not tear down. That's what edification means. An edifice is a building. So if we are using words for edification, we are building someone up. Do I make positive comments about my husband in public? Do I call attention to some good thing that he's done? Or agree with something he said, support it? Or do I offer some kind of a contradiction? Do I correct him? I have a good friend who loves her husband, but when he is teaching Sunday school, she constantly is correcting his spelling, if he writes on the board, or a verse if he gives a wrong reference. And I know she intends it to be a help. I know she does. But all it does is make him look like he can't spell or remember his Bible verses. So don't do that. If my husband is telling a story and he says, oh yeah, we drove 20 miles that day. Well, I know we didn't drive that far. We drove about 10. What does it matter, really? Oh, thank you. It's very kind. What does it matter whether he gets the facts straight? Exactly. You know, it really doesn't. I'm a detail thinker, and so I can really get caught up in the details. And I just have to tell myself, it doesn't matter. Let it go. So the key issue is building our husbands up, helping them to stand proud. Someone else may be my husband's spiritual leader, and he can help him deal with issues in his life. That is not my job. Sometimes people will come up to me after John has spoken and, you know, would you tell your husband that he had that verse wrong, or that, you know, I don't agree with this particular point? And I say, no, that's not my job. You can go talk to him, but I'm not going to. So don't allow I don't allow him to be criticized in my presence. There was a lady at a store in the airport, not on this trip, on a different trip, and she was really being hard on my husband because he was having trouble counting out his change. And I finally just said, ma'am, you are not being nice to him. And he is trying to buy something from you. Now, you be nice to him or we'll go buy it somewhere else. Well, you know, a lot of times I just don't even think of doing something like that. I'm just standing there and kind of letting him take it because he's the strong one and I'm the quiet one. But we don't have to stand there and let someone treat our husband badly. You know, speak up. You can speak up for him. That's okay. So only such a word it is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Sometimes there are things that we do need to talk about, but not right at that moment. You know, if, for instance, he gives somebody the wrong information about the time for a meeting, say, or something that does need to be corrected, I can talk to him about it, but I probably don't need to do it right at that particular time. You know, you just have to decide, and then he can get back with the person and tell him. In those instances, you just have to stop and think, should I speak now or should I wait? That it may give grace to those who hear. I think with our husbands, more than any other person in the world, sometimes we just give grace. If you know that he is having a very full week, and you know he's tired, and he's short with you about something, just let it go. Just give him the grace to not be perfect all the time. I want people to do that with me, for me. That's a gift I can give my husband. That showing respect that is not earned, it is given. And that's the kind of respect God wants us to show our husbands. We don't need to interrupt him. We don't need to use sarcasm. We don't need to criticize him before others. We can seek opportunities to praise him before others, and we can relate to him positive comments from others. If someone has said, oh, your husband did a really good job on that report he gave, then go tell him that. And say, oh, I just heard someone compliment you. That will really mean a lot to him. It just means that we have to stay thinking. You know, how can I support my husband in this way? How can I encourage him? How can I build him up? And this kind of speech, of being negative towards our husband, can become a habit. I have been in groups, even at church, but also at work, where I just had to walk away because of the way people were talking about their husbands. I didn't want to offend anybody, but I didn't want to participate, and I knew if I stayed, that even if I didn't say anything, I became a part of the group just by being there. Avoid gripe sessions with other women. Something should not be shared with anyone else. So it is so easy when you get together with a group of women over coffee, friends, and you start talking about, oh, my husband, blah, blah, blah. And then someone else says, well, my husband, blah, blah, blah. And pretty soon you're sharing things that really are nobody else's business. I can remember when my son had been married just a short time. He was over at our house. His wife was not with him. And he started to say, oh, mom and dad. And then he realized, oh, no, wait. That's married people stuff. He was learning how to differentiate between what he should just discuss with his wife and what was open for discussion with the rest of the family. We were very close, so it didn't mean, you know, that he didn't feel free to talk to us, but he was learning how to honor her first, and that's what we want to do with our husbands. We want to honor them first. Sing his praises at home and in public. Song of Solomon 5. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Song of Solomon 5, verses 9 and 10. What kind of beloved is your beloved, O most beautiful among women? What kind of beloved is your beloved that thus you adjure us? And then in verse 10, my beloved is dazzling and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. And then it goes on to describe him. Okay? Sing his praises at home. Tell other people how wonderful your husband is. It's not done very much. And be very careful of prayer groups that turn into gossip sessions. I talked about walking away from lunch at the office. I also had to stop going to a women's prayer group at church because all they did was badmouth their husband. That's all they did. And we can call it prayer all we want, but what it really is gossip. You can ask in the prayer group, you can ask for prayer for yourself, that you will be the kind of wife you need to be, but you do not need to share things about your husband. I knew a lady whose husband was not a believer. And she would always share in the prayer group, not just pray for my husband, but all sorts of things he was doing that were bad, or even the fact that he was not a believer. Because that man was never going to come to church. The second he walked through that door, every eye would be on him. Oh, there he is. You know, he was not going to feel comfortable. That's not what we want to do with our husbands. Be careful of prayer that is truly just gossip. Okay? Another verse to look at dealing with this issue is talks about respectful behavior in 1 Peter 3. Let's all look at 1 Peter 3. We'll start with verse 1. Okay, who can read that? Let's read through 1 and 2.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, he also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wise, while they hold your church conversation open and clear.
Okay, so this is talking about a non-believing husband. It says disobedient to the word, but the implication here that it is a lifestyle of disobedience, not just a mistake. Okay? So this is a non-believing husband, and they're saying that what is going to be the most powerful thing his wife can do to win him to the Lord? What's the most powerful thing she can do to influence him, according to this passage? I'm sorry. Yes, but there's something even more specific than that. Look at verse 2. Pardon me? No. No, that's what we think is going to work, but look at verse 2. Okay. Chaste and respectful behavior. Okay. Her behavior, specifically in the way she is chaste and respectful towards him, is more powerful than her words. We think our words are going to do it. I think, oh, if only I could really explain this and he would just listen to me, he would understand what I'm trying to say. And so I say it, and then I say it again a little bit later, and then if I don't see the response I want, I go back and repeat it, and I think, well, he's just not getting it. But what Scripture says is that this husband may be won without a word. Without a word. So it's our behavior that influences our husband. That's how important it is for us to show respect to him. That's just the way God's designed it. See, what we're talking about is nothing new. This is the way God designed us and designed marriage from the beginning. We've just strayed away from it, or we need to be reminded of it, or we need to improve on it. This is His plan. Look at the very first. Sometimes people will ask me, well, it's so hard to live with a husband who is either not following the Lord or is just disobedient in one particular area. Well, look at the very beginning of that verse. It says, in the same way. That's referring to the chapter that precedes this chapter. And if you look at the end of chapter 2, it's that verse that we memorize and quote when we're sharing the gospel. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls, because of Jesus did for us on the cross. That's why we can live this way with our husbands. What we do, even if it's hard, is so minor in comparison to what he did for us. That's got to be our perspective if we are going to live the way we need to live. Okay, Now, I want to skip down just a little bit in this same chapter. Verses 6 and 7. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. It's talking about submission. It says, holy women who used to adorn themselves being submissive to their own husbands without being frightened by any fear. That's that same word, phobia, that we were talking about. It doesn't mean that she was afraid her husband was going to do anything wrong. It means that she was not, she was still willing to follow him and let him be the authority in her life. And think about her. He wants to call her his sister. He takes her away from her family and everything she's known to go into the wilderness. She was a brave woman. She was a brave woman and truly an example of not being frightened. Then read verse 7. Your husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. For years and years and years, I struggled with that word weaker. I thought, well, God, you said it, so I believe it, but I don't like it. But you know, I did a study once on that word weaker. And in the Greek, it means fragile. It's like a crystal base. Because it says he's to show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. So that's not saying that we are anything less worthy of honor. It says we are worthy of honor. But our husbands, and this is addressed to the men, I just like understanding what the word weaker means because it makes a difference in my thinking about myself. That we are fragile vases. God has set our husbands over us to protect us from the world. And when we are living in submission with them and allowing them to do that, that is the right relationship for order in the home that God wants. Okay? We've kind of come full circle. We started out talking about the marriage covenant and what that is, an agreement before God that we are joined together for life. We talked about how being subject and submissive to our husbands is designed by God for order in the home, and that it means being willing to live under his authority. And the only way that we are able to do that is if we are first trusting God to work in our lives, and then trusting that God will work through our husbands, that nothing can touch us, that God doesn't allow, that he hasn't ordained and worked through our husbands to reach us. And I shared you an example in my life with the purchase of the car. So we talked about submission. Then we went on to talk about how we can minister to our husbands in a unique way by giving him a sexually exciting marriage. And we talked about all the different aspects of that. Then we talked about showing respect for our husbands is also a way that we minister to him. It's a gift we give him, not based on him earning it, that's based on us freely giving it to him because God says that's the relationship and the way he wants us to treat him. And then we've come back now to talking about how he's created us as fragile, special pieces that he knows needs protection, that he's designed the marriage relationship for our husbands to protect us and show us honor in this way. We just have to be willing to live within the confines of the marriage relationship as God has created it. Okay? Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to add. Okay. So I hope that this has been an encouragement to you. One thing, we have a few minutes, I think. Yeah, we just to take maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Look at the third thing in your third handout in your list. Did everyone get a copy of the handouts? Did you get one? Are there any handouts left? Are they all gone? Okay, how many people need a handout? One, two, three, four, Okay, I can print 5. I can print some more, and I'll try to get them done by the time you all leave tonight, but if not, I'll get them and leave them with you so you can pass them out, if that's okay. So, sorry, I was trying to figure how many, and... But let's look at this right now. Maybe someone will... Here, let me give you mine, and y'all can share it so you know what we're talking about. This is the verse that we started out with when we were talking about respect, Ephesians 5:33, but in the Amplified Version. So who can read the verse? It's at the very top of your sheet. Would you read that for us?
And life must see to me that she respects and delights in her husband, that she notices him and protects him and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear.
Okay, great. You know what the Amplified Bible does? It takes the word and expands it just to give clearer meaning. It's not a literal translation because of those words it adds, but it does help kind of expand thinking on what it says, and I really like this verse. So what I would encourage you to do, and let's do one together right now, just as an example. The first thing on the list is delights in him. What does it say? Definition? What's it say at the top of the next column?
Definition.
Definition. Okay, so what does it mean to delight in your husband? To enjoy him, to take pleasure in him. Good. Yes. So that would be one way to show respect for your husband. You are showing him that you enjoy being with him. Okay? So what's a specific example of how could you show that to your husband? How can you do this? How can you take delight in your husband?
Listen when he's talking.
Okay, listen.
Look at someone who's talking and listen.
Okay, except for you. You don't have to look at him. No, listen. Give him special attention. Right. And sometimes that means teaching your children not to interrupt so you can actually have a conversation. I have a friend who taught her child that if she was in conversation with her husband and the child came up and wanted something, unless it was, you know, little Billy is running away or something serious like that, they just were supposed to put their two fingers on her arm and stand there quietly. And that way she knew they had a question, and she might say, oh, sweetheart, excuse me just a minute, and turn to her child and ask them what the issue was. But the child also knew that they just needed to wait. It's an issue of self-control, isn't it? Now, you can't do that if you're not teaching your children self-control in other areas, but that is certainly one way you can do that. And that honors their father, doesn't it? For him to know that what he's saying is important. That's a great example. Okay. So do you get the idea of what you can do with this? Is go through and think of some way. Think of what the words mean. Then think, how can I do this? Okay? Prefers him. How could you show your husband that you prefer him over other men? Yes, telling him you love him. Tell him, I can't imagine being married to anyone but you. You know? Now that sounds, you can say, well, I don't need to tell him that. He knows it. But I'm sure he would love to hear it. Tell him you love him. Tell him you would rather be married to him than anyone else. Tell him that your life has never been more wonderful since you were married to him. Those are things that we feel. We just don't always think about saying it. But words have an impact. And when we say those things to our husband, we are showing respect to him. We are encouraging him. We are giving him confidence. And it's true. It's just things we've not thought about saying. Okay? So I think you have the idea. My prayer is that this will be helpful to you so that what we've talked about today is not just theoretical, but it becomes something you can actually do to learn how to grow in these areas. And these are areas that we will grow in for the rest of our married lives. You never reach a point where you can't grow more. But it'll be exciting to look back a year from now and see, oh yeah, you know, I did some of these things. You know, it really makes a difference. That's my prayer, is that will happen. See? Impact. Power goes off and then back on. So, I told you I would ask someone to close it in prayer at the end. Let me first close this off. So, we are finishing up our discussion of respect. And I hope that these will all be helpful to you as you grow in your relationship with your husband.